to True Faith Podcast. I'm Norman Reilly, talking to you possibly for the last time ever as a fill-in presenter as I go back to my role, you know, on the bench because the Supreme Leader's back from Australia. So it'll be Alex from now on, and I'll complete me Tony Parks caretaker role and never be given the big job, but always there to fill in. You know how it works. I'm joined by Mickey on the line in Newcastle, who was at the match against Luton yesterday. In my eyes, obviously, I wasn't there, so it looked like a decent 3-1 win, but Mickey might have a slightly different interpretation of that. We'll see. First question for you, Mick.
Just quickly, do you reckon that, I think this must be the first time ever that only one person off the podcast has gone to a home game. Must be.
It must be. I mean, you're flying the flag, and for that kind of loyalty, you should be commended and given a massive fucking pay rise. Because obviously, we're all paid extensively large amounts of money for this, so yeah, I think you should be given. You're due a bonus, mate. Absolutely. Well, we'll see what we can do. So, first thing, obviously, the first thing that I noticed yesterday, the lineup. We know how strong it was, and we'll go into that and the implications of that, but. Woodman making his first appearance for us. Incredibly highly rated, obviously. He had a brilliant World Cup for the under-20s. There's been a lot of talk about him. How did you see his performance yesterday? I mean, I'm guessing he didn't have too much to do initially, but the second half he seemed to possibly have the opportunity to be a bit busier.
I would say overall it was a reasonable debut. There's a couple of things that not by us as fans, but by in the management. I thought he let himself down a bit with his kicking. Actually, he let their striker close him down way too much, making clearances when he didn't really need to, and he sort of dilly dallied a bit on his clearances. And one of them ended up thumping into the striker just on the edge of the box, and you know those things can go anywhere. And I think that's something he needs to work on. And then obviously he gets made a bit of a mug off for the goal. But other than that, I thought it was a reasonable goalkeeping debut performance. And I find it a bit strange that he hasn't been given a shot before now.
He's young though, isn't he? For a keeper in the Premier League. I mean, yeah, Pickford was given a chance at Sunderland when they were in absolute dire straits. I mean, I think Mignone got injured and they didn't have anyone else. So Pickford was kind of thrown in, and he also had a decent loan spell at Preston, I think. Whereas Woodman, obviously, Elliot and Darlow are a lot more experienced, and they're kind of ahead of him in the pecking order. So there's maybe that. He just hasn't, like, the kind of the accidental opportunity hasn't presented itself with Woodman. And I think, for me, it's one of those where you think you'd like to maybe see him go out on loan and do a full season in the Championship just to get that experience under his belt. Like you say, the kind of error that he made maybe for the first for the Luton goal yesterday and other little things he has to iron out of his game, they're the kind of mistakes that, if he was playing for sort of a mid-level Championship team, he might be able to, you know, he might be able to kind of suffer those mistakes and learn from them. And that, I kind of think that's what I'm hoping yesterday. He'll, given his potential and given how highly rated he is, he kind of might be the kind of keeper who looks back at his performance against, right, I could have done better there, rather than kind of take it as a thing that might affect his confidence in his next game, you know what I mean?
I agree with you. In an ideal world, that's how it would work. But I just feel like, bearing in mind how much both of our keepers have struggled this season and how they've been chopping and changing and taking in turns, making mistakes and being shit for a couple of games and then getting swapped out, I don't see why he hasn't been given a chance. I don't think he could have done any worse, really, than the other two. I know maybe Rafa's trying to protect his confidence and doesn't want to just chuck him in at the deep end. But for me, it could have really made him as a player if he'd been chucked in to halfway through the season with the Newcastle keeper struggling, and he sort of puts in a few good performances and kind of saves the day a bit as a new standing keeper. Then I don't know. For me, he's clearly a very, very talented young lad, and I think we should have given him a shot before now. And I really hope that goal doesn't sap his confidence too much and play on his head, because it's the kind of thing that young keepers can struggle with, and it could cause a major setback for him. I really hope that's. It's not what happens.
I get the impression he'd be all right, because I watched him for the under 20s, and he's just I hate to compare him with Pickford in a certain sense, but what you had with Pickford was like a young keeper who's just got like a lot of um, a lot of self-belief. And I think Woodman kind of showed that with you in the 20s. And I'm hoping that somebody will carry forward into his career and hopefully his career at Newcastle. I suppose, you know, to a certain extent, you may be right, he could have been given an opportunity because Darlow and Elliott were out of form. But I guess Darlow, the past couple of games, has been pretty good. So let's see. But I suppose now that he's made his debut, there's no reason that, you know, he might be given a chance if Darlow goes out of form again with Elliott being in. Is Elliott injured at the minute? I mean, if Elliott gets injured, there's a chance he'll get in. But I mean, yeah, like you said, in an ideal world, I'd like to see him go out for a season. But all in all, it's good to see someone from the academy come through with the first team, just even for a brief moment, isn't it?
It is. I mean, there's only really been Dumas other than him in years. As long as, I mean, where do you go back before that? Carroll? See the last one that came?
Possibly. A couple of the lads he gave chances to last season in the FA Cup and League Cups, but nothing's really come of that. But I mean, that's a question for another time. Obviously, I think me and Alex alluded to it the other day on the half-season review. It's that's a structural issue at the club rather than a lack of talent being out there, I think. And hopefully, you know, that might be a situation that's rectified in the not-too-distant future, but we shall see. Moving on from that, then, mate. Obviously, the Shelvey and Marino started together yesterday. Now, it's difficult to make a kind of definitive judgment based on the fact that we're playing a League Two team, and no disrespect to Luton, but they're at side three divisions below us. But regardless of that, how did you see Shelvey and Marino interacting? And did they kind of stick rigidly to positions on the pitch, or did they interchange, and was it a kind of fluid performance from the pair of them?
Those two as a pair worked well at all yesterday. For a couple of different reasons. The first thing that I kind of noticed with those two is they're both consistently drop very, very deep to pick the ball up off the centre-halves, but they do it at the same time. And so they're sort of dropping in to just outside our box and quite wide, looking to pick the ball up and spray a long pass. But when they're both doing it on opposite sides of the pitch, we've just got a huge gap in the middle of the pitch, and it really leaves us exposed, and it gives other teams a chance to build up a bit of possession and a bit of territory on us, which is madness. Really, in my mind, I don't really want either of our centre midfielders to be picking the ball up in that kind of position on the pitch. We should have centre halves that are capable enough to be doing that job and allow the centre midfielders to be making their passes from further forward. So I find that frustrating in either of them, let alone both of them playing together. And I don't know that. They're both a bit too similar to play together in the centre-mid pairing for me.
Right.
I'll come on to something else with Shelvey later, but despite the fact that obviously those two are comfortably the most able of our centre midfielders, I don't think they work as a pair. To be honest, as a pairing, they didn't look any better than the centre-mid yesterday.
That's interesting that you say that, because obviously, me especially, I've been a proponent of Shelvey and Marino getting a run of two or three games together. So I suppose it's a little bit disconcerting if you said that they didn't particularly interact well yesterday. I mean, what do you think it is? I mean, you said that they're kind of similar in how they approach the game. But do you think that, I mean, is there like a communication issue there? Because, I mean, surely two players of their, you know, their kind of natural ability, you would like to think that between them, even between them, regardless of how they're being coached and how they're being taught to play, they could work it out. Did it look like there was kind of a confusion as to who should have been where yesterday then?
Well, no, I wouldn't say it was a confusion, because they were kind of peeling, in the specific example I'm thinking of them dropping in and receive the ball, they were peeling off to opposite sides of the box. So it didn't look like they didn't know what each other were doing. It just didn't look right. I don't think that was the right thing for them to be doing.
Was it any different when Diome came on for Shelvey, but then Marino was hooked after 10 minutes after that, wasn't he? So I guess you couldn't really make any decisions. So I mean, I suppose you're pretty much saying that you wouldn't be confident seeing Shelvey and Marino start against Swansea, I guess.
I don't know. It's a difficult game to make any sort of proper judgments on the team on, because it was because it was against the League Two side in the Cup. It's not,
yeah.
It's not the same.
Aye.
And the mindset of the team wasn't the same.
Well,
like people have said in the past, and they're obviously the two most talented players we've got, and if we can get them onto a wavelength where they're using each other as options and passing the ball between themselves, obviously that's going to be our most effective pairing, but it wasn't there yesterday.
Aye. Well, like you say, I mean, it's a tough game to analyse in a tactical sense. For like looking at this from a Premier League point of view, because we're playing against a League Two team, and it always happens in the Cup when you're a team from a few divisions below, you up your game and the team a couple of divisions ahead of you like naturally lowers their game. And we've seen it today. I don't know if you watched Shrewsbury versus West Ham, but I mean it was fucking awful. And West Ham didn't look like a Premier League side, and Shrewsbury didn't necessarily look like a side two divisions below them. It was a fairly balanced game, despite the fact that they're hugely different, and it was quite obvious that the West Ham players weren't 100% committed. And this is another question I've got for you: is your match report? Funny enough, I read it, and obviously the first half we banged three goals within a 9 minute spell. And to me, that's game over. It's almost like you can kind of switch off a little bit and drop down a couple of gears. But your match report, you obviously gave the impression that you're a little bit annoyed with the second half performance. Now, what was it specifically that annoyed you? And isn't there a kind of argument that it was always going to be like that once we bagged three goals and were three up?
There is. I mean, that's the beauty of writing the match report quickly after the match.
Aye, aye.
The absolute instinct reaction, which I have simmered on my comments today. I definitely do still think that the second half performance yesterday was very poor, very, very poor. We were outplayed by a League Two side on our own home pitch. They played better football than us, they passed the ball better, they dominated possession, dominated territory. It was quite frightening, really.
Was that throughout the whole game, or was it just in the second half?
Second half. The first 10 minutes started quite lively, but in the second half they were the better side. And taking the performance as a whole, you're right what you say. We scored three goals in the first half, but two of them were bundles, or were terrible goals. There were mistakes from Luton rather than good goals from us. And on another day, we don't get either of those. And we come out in the second half, I think with an apparent mindset of closing the game down and just not doing anything stupid. And then we'll concede a stupid goal within the first 2 minutes and spend the rest of the half defending, basically. And you know, from my perspective in the Millburn stand yesterday, their second goal didn't look offside, and now the replays on Match of the Day don't show it with any clarity. I think it probably was very slightly offside, but you know, if that offside doesn't get given, they score again with 25 minutes to go. There's every chance they go on and win that game, and it really wouldn't have surprised me with the quality of our performance in the second half if they got something out of that, got a replay, or even snuck a win. We really were that bad. We couldn't pass the ball at all. We were panicking. We were lumping it forwards. We were on the back foot constantly. We were misplacing passes. It was a bad, bad performance in the second half.
It's interesting.
By a few fortunate goals in the first half and a reasonably good 25-minute spell to end the first half. But don't let the result get anyone carried away. Yesterday's performance was, in the second half especially, was poor.
I don't think it's interesting you say that you think that the players looked afraid almost and were panicking. I mean, I was looking at it, and again, it's difficult for me to comment on the performance when I didn't see the game, but I suppose looking at it like as an outsider, you think, well, we went three up, and we were just almost saving ourselves for what's obviously coming up, which is a massive game. I mean, I suppose the fact you're seeing the players look like they were a little bit fearful, excuse me, a little bit disconcerting. But was there anyone on the pitch that impressed you in particular yesterday?
No, there wasn't at all. I thought our defensive unit just fell to pieces when Lascelles went off the pitch. So Lascelles is the only one I think that comes out yesterday with any credit. He played for what?
about 20 minutes?
30, came off. 30, half an hour.
Half an hour. I think as a whole, we're just all, like, disorganised all over the place. The same as I have been all season when the Stars haven't played, but for it to be so apparent yesterday against... I mean, I'm all credit Luton. They've obviously run away with League Two, and they played some really quite good football yesterday for a League Two side. But for a Premier League defence to look that shaky against a team from League Two is most concerning. It really is. Like, across the midfield, as I've said, I thought Mourinho and Xavi didn't link up particularly well. Xavi in particular was trying some and hitting some long passes, and most of them were fairly accurate, but they were pointless. They were unnecessary in the context of the game. And I thought the wingers were ineffective. Perez has scored twice, but otherwise done absolutely nothing at all. And then Gale might as well not have been on the pitch.
Was yesterday? Was it?
Sort of made more apparent what I was saying before with how deep the centre midfield is, where with Perez quite far forwards, presumably to try and get on the end of one of the long balls, which never works. There was just a gaping hole, almost 60 yards of our pitch without Newcastle player in it.
Well,
so it was an odd way for the team to operate.
Well, another question, you said that you weren't convinced by the defence yesterday, but I suppose what I did notice yesterday was that Manquillo was given the opportunity to actually play in the position that he's played in all of his career at right back. I'll wax lyrical a bit about Manquillo because, I have a ridiculous soft spot for him. I don't know why, but I just do. And he was playing at right back yesterday. Do you think he looked more comfortable there than he does at left back, or was it just same old, same old?
To be honest, I didn't difference in his level of performance. I thought of all the ones in the defence, he probably came out with the most credit, if you will.
He
looked reasonably effective going forward, fairly comfortable on the ball. I think my opinions on Yedlin's overall season are fairly negative, so I would be more than happy to see Manquillo given a run in the team at right back. And Dummett when he's probably fit and fit enough to play a full game should be our left back for sure. But yeah, I kind of get what you mean with Manquillo. There's something about him that's quite likable.
I think it's just he grafts
quite hard, and that's quite apparent. And he's got a bit of ability, and he's also been just written off by almost the entire footballing world as he's going to be absolutely shit, and he's not. He's all right.
Aye. No, that's what I said the other day. I won't go into it because it'll obviously get the point where I'll probably get arrested for like some sort of weird social media stalking of him because I'm waxing lyrical about him far too often. So we'll leave that for now. The Lascelles going off. The scene it was precautionary, and I imagine that was a bit of a worry at the time. And I'm looking at the substitution, so. He brought Hayden on for Lascelles. Did Hayden slot in at centre half then?
Hayden played centre half, yeah. We didn't have a bench thing.
Mbemba wasn't there, aye.
Could potentially have put. We did have. I forget who it was.
Haidara could have come on, and Dummett could have gone to centre half, I guess.
Rafa obviously doesn't see Dummett as one of a centre half pair, and Hayden has done that before. He's played at least once before. He's filled in at centre half for Newcastle when we've had injuries.
I think he played at. I think he played at Hull. I think he played at Hull at centre half on a few occasions as well. Because I suppose you look at the bench and you think, well, Haidara could have come on and Dummett could have gone into centre half, but how did Hayden look?
Haidara's shite. So. One thing actually on Hayden, obviously he was playing out of position, but I thought. If you get a chance to look back at the highlights, I don't know whether or not it would come up as another question. His heading was just abysmal. We had maybe five or six completely free defensive headers that he had straight to one of their men. And for a Premier League footballer to not be able to find one of his own men with time and space and time to watch the ball down onto his head is, I don't even know how to describe it. But...
So Hayden, would you think that at the minute maybe, I mean, I don't think physically he's got what it takes to be a centre-half in any ways. He's quite slight. I mean, he might fill out, but I just don't see him as a centre-half at all, regardless of where he might have played some of his football in his earlier days. But the other thing with him is, at the minute, do you think there might be a lack of confidence with Hayden? He seems to have lacked confidence for a couple of months to me. Because, you know, there is a player in there, and he was excellent in patches last season, and it's just kind of a little bit worrying to see someone who's been so almost like quiet when he's played. And I'm hoping it's just a confidence issue. What do you reckon? Do you reckon there is a problem at the minute?
I don't know. It's difficult to put your finger on it, isn't it? I mean, last season we were fairly well in agreement, at least the lads on the podcast, that Hayden was going to be one of our better players this year, and he was ready made for the Premier League, and he's floundered, hasn't he, since the very start of the season.
He has, but yeah. I suppose we've got it. It's one of those where, again, you have to put in a context and think, God, he's still only, what, 22, I think? Is that all? He's only 22, isn't he? And it's his kind of first season in the Premier League. So hopefully, you know, that there is ability there. I mean, his performances last season, a lot of them were like very mature for a kid of his age. And he has struggled a bit this season. So hopefully it'll just be like a temporary confidence and an experience issue, and we'll see him pick up again. But whether or not he's in the side for Swansea, I don't know. I think at the minute I'd be surprised to see him in the team for the Swansea match. I guess we'll have a Swansea review later on in the week, and we can discuss that then. But
what might help him, which he probably won't ever get here under Rafa, is a consistent man in the team.
Aye,
he's the kind of mould of player that seems to thrive on consistency. Like that's what you want someone like him to deliver. It's a consistent level of performance. Which it's probably unfair to expect of him. He plays. Misses three or comes off the bench for 15 minutes.
Aye.
There's that as well to consider, but you're right, he looks shot of confidence, and I hope we'll see him come good, because the player that was in there last year would be great in this side.
I know he would be. Moving on, mate, so Luton obviously 7,500 yesterday. On your match report you said that you were surrounded by them, where you were in the Millburn stand. What, like, were the Luton fans in with the Newcastle fans, or were you just kind of next to them in the stand?
No, we got seats in the sports bar bit, so like the slightly posher seats, only 10 it, like. And there was loads of them. You could see them. There was loads of them in the director's box. There was a big group of them right in front of us, like almost looked like the Luton wives.
Good atmosphere.
Kids and it was quite odd. And obviously, it's only Luton at home in the third round of the cup, so you don't want to get too annoyed about it. But for me, people should not be allowed to celebrate or to like openly support the other team in the Newcastle end. I think it's unacceptable. Defeats the point for me of football. Like, it's not right.
I can see you're saying there's a touch of the prawn sandwich brigade about it when people are just like sat kind of jumping around and shaking each other's hands in the same area, and it kind of it works against creating an atmosphere of like fans singing at each other, I guess, like, but
that's never going to happen in the Millburn stand, I don't mind. So
true enough. I mean, in general, like, the what were they making? Were they making plenty of noise, the Luton fans?
I was a little bit disappointed in those at the minute. To be quite honest, they started off very well in the very start of the first half, but then, and obviously it's difficult. I imagine anyway, it's a difficult ground to make noise at as away fans, because you're spread in like a thin line, absolutely miles away from the pitch. So there was like different pockets of them saying different things at different times, and it wasn't until the last sort of 20 minutes that they got a kind of joined voice amongst the whole families, and then they were quite loud after that. I thought they spent quite a lot of the time singing about our support, and like, this is a library, your support is fucking shit.
It happens, though, doesn't it? It happens at every away game, you can't. Like, every away game you go to, like, even even when you go to away games, like as a Newcastle fan, you always end up like that song where you're singing like other fans, your support is fucking shit. I think it's just kind of like indicative of the Premier League now, isn't it? Some of the grounds are like so big that the noise just doesn't filter down.
I find stuff like that frustrating when it's obvious that the support isn't shit though. Like we'd basically sold the ground out for a third round tie at home against them. Like our support obviously isn't shit. That particular song grates on me when it's used in pointless circumstances. There's times when we've done it, Newcastle fans have done it away from home. I'm trying to think of the one where I got out and started shouting at people, thinking like yous are talking shite, like they've got good fans.
Well, you know what, Mick? The fact that you're like carrying the sword to it is like it's to your credit. It's to your credit, mate. You keep fighting the fight. I tell you what, we'll end on a positive note, mate. I tell you one thing about yesterday that I really thought was excellent was the fact that Rafa did put out like a really strong side, which to me kind of makes me hopeful that, you know, getting into the complete realms of fantasy here, like, but the mere fact that he put out a very strong side at home to a League Two side suggests that he's going to take the cup seriously this season. What did you make of that? Is that kind of your impression as well?
I think there was two reasons behind that team selection yesterday, which I've alluded to in my match report. The first was getting a positive result yesterday could break the little sort of hoodoo we've got at the minute at St James's, because we have been struggling at home. And secondly, yeah, Rafa loves the cup. He's proved it time after time in his previous jobs. Rafa loves a cup. So, let's fucking dream.
Aye.
Stranger things have happened than Newcastle United winning the trophy, so you never know.
So basically, we want Newport County at home in the next round, don't we?
Anyone shit.
You know, like when people say, like, oh, like it's a cup and that, you want like a glamour tie. I don't, like, I want fucking League One, Two and Championship sides all the way to the final. And then in the final, in the final as well, I want a Championship side.
Yeah.
I don't care. All this bollocks about, oh, wouldn't it be great to like have like you know, Man City at Wembley and mates, like no, I'd rather have like Sheffield Chelsea. United.
Yeah, that's an absolute load of rubbish, because Man City would batter us.
Yeah, and I went to Man U in 99 and it was the worst day of my entire life. Like the worst one. Right, regardless of deaths of relatives and things like that, it was the worst day of my life. I'm not even ashamed to say it. But you know what? end on a positive note, mate, we're probably gonna win the cup, so everything's gonna be sound. We'll miss the Royal Wedding, which obviously is devastating, but
what a tragedy.
Absolute tragedy, but we'll win the cup. So
think about this, Norman. Things could go this way. Like, the takeover could get completed fairly soon. We could buy three players in January. We could be safe from relegation in a month's time, and we can put all of our resources into winning the FA Cup.
Aye. Absolutely, mate. We'll beat Swansea this weekend. We'll win the FA Cup. We'll get taken over. We'll buy three brilliant players. There you go, mate. We'll leave it at that. And I'll... Cheers for that, Mick, and I will say ta-ra to everyone, and I might be back on you as a guest at some point, but it's been an absolute pleasure filling in for Alex, and we'll speak to you soon. Cheers.
Well done, Nolan. Cheers.